This morning I want to especially speak to the boys and girls and to all the young people present. But of course, I'm speaking to adults as well, and I hope they won't turn off because the Lord would speak to them just as much as to children if they carefully and humbly listen. And the title this morning is, Little Children, Do You Love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? You know, to benefit and get good from God's word, you have to become as a child. And you have the advantage. Yous are children. And that's an advantage for you this morning. And that's an advantage in God's house, to be young at life, to be able to seek God early. You actually have to become little to benefit from God's word, you know. You have to become humble to receive good for your soul from the Holy Scriptures. And so those who think they're big and growing up and adult and know all, they can't get any good from the Bible, really, because they're too proud. And the proud get little out of the Bible. And the Lord Jesus says that we all have to become as little children. So we have to come to the Bible humbly, with childlike simplicity and with a lowliness of mind. In actual fact, do you know what the Lord Jesus calls his people, whether they're young or old? Do you know what he calls his people? He calls them little children. Little children. In fact, we read this morning in John 21, he called them children. He calls his people children. They might be 70 or 80 years of age, grown and adult and near the grave, and yet he calls them children. And sometimes little children. You remember how he spoke to his apostles? He says, little children. And they were grown men. He says, little children, I'm just with you a little while. He calls them up because they belong to him and he loves them. And he looks upon them as his own. And he wants them to be childlike, to be simple and humble. And not to complicate things, and not to complicate life, and not to complicate their walk with God, just to be simple and humble. And you know, the preachers in the early New Testament preachers, they followed the Lord Jesus in this way. Because you know how they addressed their flocks? They addressed their flocks as little children. Even though they're all adults and grown men and women in the churches, they called their congregations little children. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he says, my little children. And John, whenever he was writing his circular, and was a circular around all the churches, he says, my little children, these things I write unto you. And so the preacher looks upon the whole flock as little children. And so while I'm speaking to the boys and girls, I'm looking upon you all as little children who need to hear God's word today and benefit from it. I'm going to call you all little children. And what should little children do in God's house? Well, what little children should do in the home. And what is that? Well, they listen. And they're quiet. And they only speak when they're spoken to. And they pay attention. And they listen to the adult. And they learn. And they believe all that the adult tells them. That's what little children do. And that's what God's flock does in his house. They listen to the preaching and they give attention to the word of God and they believe. And I want to leave with you today, little children, a question. And it's a question that the Lord Jesus Christ asks. It's a very short question because it's only three words in our Bible. Lovest thou me? Because we read here that Jesus spake unto him and says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And I want to leave that question with you this morning, little children. It's a question the Lord Jesus Christ asked. But the strange thing about this question was this. He asked it three times. Three times he asked the same question. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And again the second time, and again the third time. Isn't that really unusual? To ask the same question three times. I mean, if your mommy asked you, have you eaten your dinner all up, Johnny? And you said yes. And then again, within the space of a few seconds or a minute or so, Johnny, have you eaten your dinner all up? Yes. And then she asked you yet again the third time, have you eaten your dinner all up, Johnny? You would think that's strange, wouldn't you? To be asked it three times. You might get impatient with your mommy. You might even get cross. And you might say, how many times do you have to ask me that, mommy? And how many times do I have to say yes? You might get grieved. Well, Peter was asked this three times. And I think he got a bit cross too. And he was sad. The Bible says he was grieved that he asked him the third time. But why would your mommy ask you it three times? Because it's something important to her. She's concerned. And she wants you to know that you need your dinner. And she works for your dinner every day. And she puts the effort in. And she just wants you to know it's important to her. And what's important to her should be important to you. And you should eat your dinner without even having to be asked. It's important. That's why it was asked three times. Just concern. Well, this question that Jesus asked three times was something important to Jesus. It's so important he had to repeat it three times. It mattered to him. And what is more, he wants Peter to know it matters. He wants Peter to know how important it is to him. And so Jesus asked it three times because it's an important question. And you'll hardly be asked a more important question today, little children. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him? It's an important question. He wants us to know that. Now, the question, as I said, was put to Peter. He wants Peter to know that it's vital that you should love Jesus. And you should love Jesus. And he asks you this question this morning, little children. I want you to hear Jesus speaking the question. Don't you come to church to hear Jesus? You should. You don't come just to hear a preacher. You come to hear Jesus. And every Sunday morning before you come to church, you should say, Lord Jesus, I want to hear your voice today. I want you to speak to me. Well, the Lord Jesus is speaking to you this morning, little children. And he's saying, do you love me? Jesus is asking you, do you love him? Do you love him? You know, Jesus had 12 apostles. They weren't all present. Judas wasn't there. And there were some others who weren't there. But I think there were at least 7 there. There was James and John, they were there. And Thomas was there and Nathanael was there. And there were at least 2 others there, as well as Peter. The strange thing is, he only asked Peter this question. Just Peter. Wasn't that unusual? He didn't even ask John once. He never looked at James and said, James, do you love me? He never even turned around to Thomas. And Thomas had doubts in his life, and he was sometimes a difficult believer. But he didn't even ask Thomas, Thomas, do you love me? No, he just looked at Peter. Peter alone. And he asked him three times, him alone three times. And that wasn't the only thing that was strange about it. You know something else? Each time he asked Peter, he said his name. He looked at him in the face and he said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And then he looked at him again, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And then the last time, the same thing. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Imagine saying his name three times. Picking him out. You know, in a crowd, it's not really right to name somebody and make them feel the center of attention and everybody's looking at them. But Jesus doesn't hesitate to do it. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, it's you I'm talking to. Do you love me? And I think that's a strange thing. He kept saying his name, and all the other six are listening. It must have been very embarrassing for Peter to be spoken to like that. And sometimes we have to put ourselves in the shoes of these people. What would that feel like? I wouldn't like to have been in his shoes. And it says Peter was grieved, and it's no wonder. But do you know why he asked Peter? And do you know why he asked Peter three times? There was a reason. Because Peter had been a naughty boy. He'd been a bad boy. He'd sinned. And he sinned a certain number of times. The same sin. Time and time again, the same sin. And guess what? It was three times. Three times the same sin. You see, every time you are naughty, and every time you do wrong and you sin, little children, and I'm speaking to the big ones too, as well as the wee ones. Every time that you're bad and naughty, it's like you don't love the Lord Jesus. That's how he looks at it. And Peter was very bad. And it looked like he didn't love the Lord Jesus. Now, how was he bad, you ask? Well, I will tell you very quickly how naughty he was. He said that he would do something, and he didn't. And that's wrong in itself, to say you'll do something and don't do it. Well, he said he'd do something, and he didn't do it. In fact, he did the opposite. He said he would do something, and he did the opposite. That's even worse. What did he say he would do, you ask? Well, he said he would stand up for Jesus. He said he would go to prison for Jesus. He said, though I die with you, Jesus, I'll die with you, but I will not deny you. That's what he said. He'll stand with Jesus, he'll follow Jesus, he'll go into the prison, he'll go into the dungeon with him, he'll go into Pilate's judgment hall with him, and he'll go to the cross with him and die beside him. But when the time came, he didn't. He didn't stand up for Jesus. In fact, he denied him. And he denied him three times. You know the story? He told it himself so many times. There was one of the little maids in the palace where Jesus was being judged. And she belonged to the high priest. And there were a lot of people about in the courtyard that night. And she saw Peter standing by the fire. And she thought she recognized him. And she went over to him. And she says, you were with Jesus. You know what he said? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know Jesus. You're wrong. And there was a cock crowing after that. And then on another occasion, there was a maid, saw him again. I'm not sure if it was the same maid or not. But she said to him, or she didn't say to him, but she was talking about him and he was present. She was talking to those beside her, that this is one of them. This is one of those followers of Jesus of Nazareth. Surely he was with them. And Peter said, no, it wasn't. Don't know what you're talking about. It's not me. You're wrong. And then the third time, there was somebody who stood up and said to Peter, when they heard him talking, they recognized his accent. And they knew he was from Galilee. And he must be a follower of Jesus, because that's where all the followers are. That's where Jesus is from. He's from Galilee. So you must be following Jesus because you're a Galilean, and you wouldn't be down here at all unless you were following him. And you're here because he's in there in the judgment. You know, Peter, he said, no, you're wrong. I don't know him. And he did something really serious. He promised and he made a vow. And he says, I swear by God, I don't know him. He was really bad. And Jesus was standing nearby. In fact, Jesus could see him. And Jesus looked at him after he denied him three times. And Peter saw Jesus looking at him. And the cock crew again the second time. It made Jesus sad. It made him sad. It hurt Jesus. Little children, you know, when we're naughty, we hurt Jesus. I heard him. The crown of thorns hurt him. The nails hurt him. The whipping he received hurt him. All the talk about him to his face and behind his back, it hurt him. It hurt him to have bad people spit on his face. It hurt him whenever he was slapped. It hurt him to have carry his heavy cross. It hurt him to have all his clothes taken off, to be nailed to the tree. It hurt him. But our sins really hurt him. Peter's sin hurt him. Now, thankfully, Peter saw how it hurt Jesus. When he saw Jesus look at him, he just knew what he'd done. And Jesus is so good, he just looks at us with a kind, yet sad look. And Peter went out, the Bible says. And there was a cock of conscience crowing. Because whenever God's people do wrong, there's always that conscience. The cock of conscience, it always crows. And you know it. And he went out and he wept. And he said, sorry, Lord Jesus, forgive me. That was good that he did that. You can't be forgiven for your sins and your naughtiness. If you're sorry, we call it repentance. You change your mind and you change your heart and you're sorry. And you confess and you pray for the forgiveness of all your sins. And Peter did that. But after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he found Peter. And he asked him this question. And he asked him it three times because he'd sinned three times. Peter was bad three times. And now he asked him this question three times. Little children, every time we're bad, Jesus asks you, do you love me? Do you love me at all? Do you love me? And he'll say your name, Johnny, or whatever. He'll say your name, and he will know your sin, and he will know how many times you have sinned as well. And every time he'll say, do you love me? Do you love me at all? Jesus knows all about us. I want to do two things very quickly. I want to tell you why you should love Jesus. And then I want to tell you how you should love Jesus. Why you should love the Lord Jesus. Well, we should love the Lord Jesus just as Peter should have loved him. Because Jesus is good to you. He was good to Peter. He was so good to Peter. In fact, I don't have the time to tell you all the times he was good to Peter. So very, very many times. It would take a long time to go through every occasion when Jesus was very definitely good to Peter. But there was one. There was a time the Lord called Peter.
and he was fishing. And the Lord Jesus said, Peter, follow me. But he was glad to follow Jesus. He even left his boat, he left the nets, he left his job, he left everything, and he followed Jesus. He was so good. Jesus calls you to follow him. He's so good. And then one time he was in Peter's house, and his mother-in-law was there, and Peter loved his mother-in-law, and she was so helpful in the house. And there were so many people there, and she was sick, and the dinner wasn't going to get made right. And they didn't even tell Jesus about it. They didn't want to burden him about it. But Jesus knew. And it says when he came into the house, he went and saw her, and he saw that she wasn't well, and he went over to her. He put his hand upon her. He touched her hand. And you know something? The fever just went away. And she jumped up off the bed, and she was as good as ever, and she went straight into the kitchen and made the dinner. That's how good he was to Peter. And then he had warned him so many times, and he warned him about denying him. Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. You need to watch and pray. He warned him. He's so good to him. And you should love Jesus because he's so good to you, little children. He made you. He created you. For all things were made by him, and without him there's nothing ever has been made that was made. He made everything, and he made you. So don't you believe those who say, oh, we come from monkeys, and we come out of nothing, and over millions and billions of years, somehow we just got here. That's not true. Jesus made you. You were created in the image of God. All things are made by him, heaven and earth and all the human beings and every man, woman and child. Your body was made by him and your everlasting soul was made by him. He gave you life. He allowed you to live in this world and to see its beauty and to experience its joys. You should love him. The life he's given you, the home he's given you, the mommy and daddy he's given you, you should love him. And as well as making you, he keeps you and he sustains you. By him all things are upheld and consist, the Bible says. He's upholding everything by the word of his power. He keeps the world going. He keeps the food coming into your home. He keeps clothing you. He keeps giving your mommy and daddy the means to look after you. That's Jesus, you know. And he gave to your mommy and daddy the love that they have for you. Jesus did that. He put the grace in their hearts. And that's why your mommy and daddy bring you to church and send you to Sunday school. Because of the Lord Jesus putting that in their hearts. So the Lord Jesus loving you. Why are you not out on the streets all night like a whole lot of other boys and girls? In some countries of the world, there are boys and girls out on the streets. And people take them up and kill them. And there are some little ones that are even killed before they see the world. But he's kept you. You should love him. Because he's so good to you. You should love him because he came into the world for you. He came into the world for boys and girls and for men and women like you. Christ Jesus came into the world for sinners, the Bible says. He came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He came for you. What does the Bible say? Unto us, to you and to me, unto us a child is born. Unto us, little children, a son is given for us. For you, Christ was given. For you, Christ came. For you, Christ lived. For you, he died on the cross. He died on the cross for his little children. He said to his little children, this is my blood. I've shed it for you. Do you love me? You should love me because you see that my blood has been shed for you. And you have the forgiveness of your sins through my grace. You should love me. It's all that I ask, that you love me. Then he calls you in the gospel. And then he's in heaven, and he ever lives to make intercession for his little children, praying for them, sending his Holy Spirit upon them. Do you love him, little children? That's why we should love him. How should you love the Lord Jesus? Well, by your life, isn't it? Whenever Peter's life was a life of denying Jesus and a life of not standing for Jesus, it just didn't look like he loved him. Why was he doing that? Why was he doing that if he loved me? And so it's by your life, not just by your talk. And so if you love Jesus, you'll come to him. And you'll believe on him and you'll trust him. And you'll pray to him because you want to be near to those that you love. And you want to be in the company of those that you love. And you want to talk to those that you love. And you should talk to Jesus. And you should want to be in his company, the company of Jesus. To be near to him. And you should pray to him. And whenever you do naughty things, you should say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the first thing you should do. And whenever you see bad things in your heart, you should say, Lord Jesus, create in me a clean heart. And give me a right spirit, a right attitude, Lord Jesus. Keep me right. Make me right. And when you're dying, like the thief on the cross is dying, you say, Lord Jesus, remember me. Remember me. If you love him, you'll do these things. If you love him, you'll love his word. Not only will you be talking all the time to him, but you'll be listening. Oh, you'll love to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his word. And he likes to see you there. Oh, I know my little children love me when they're at my feet hearing my word. Oh, I know they have a heart for me then. If you love him, you'll be at his word. You'll be reading his word. You'll be at the house of God. You'll be listening to the preaching. You'll just want to hear him. And you'll be coming to Sabbath school because you love Jesus. And you'll be getting out of bed and you won't miss a bus or whatever because you love Jesus. And you'll be coming to church. You love Jesus. And nothing will put you off. Oh, my friend at school doesn't come here. I would like to go to his church where my friend goes. No. You love Jesus more than your friends. And nothing will offend you. Nothing will put you off because you love Jesus. Do you love him? And if you love him, you'll follow his example. Oh, I want to be like him. Because I love him and there's none but nobody like him. And I follow him and I want to be like him. You'll follow him. If you love, that's just how you show you love him. And then you'll love all his children. Because you'll see that Jesus loves Peter. Even though Peter was bad and naughty and denied him. The other six didn't say, oh, we're having nothing more to do with Peter. No, Peter's a bad person. He's a bad Christian. So we're going to ignore him and kick him out. No. You love all his children. Even the naughty ones. Because Jesus loves them. And Jesus restores them. And if Jesus restores them, we love them. Anybody Jesus loves, you love because you love him. And then you keep his commandments. And we have them here, don't we, on the wall? We see them every week. We're not to take God's name in vain. We won't ever say his name in vain because we love him. And then his day, we keep his day because we love him. And we don't tell lies because we love him. And we listen to mommy and daddy and honor them and obey them because we love Jesus. And so you read them all the time. Those are the commandments for those who love Jesus. And you'll endeavor not to be naughty. So little children, love Jesus.